The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
Hey there and welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today on Thursday, October 15th. Frank Stanfill alongside Scott White and a special guest that we'll get to in just a little bit. But on our last podcast, we previewed the second base position, and today we're looking at third base. And I think the easiest way to compare these two is imagine a pool, right? At your favorite resort or hotel, on one end, you have the three-foot end, the section for the kids. That's where you enter the pool. They have the stairs. They have the railing to help you. That's where the parents hang out. They watch their kids. That's second base. On the other end, we have a diving board. It's 12 feet deep. That's where all the cool kids hang out. That's third base. And Scott is looking at me like I'm absolutely crazy. So what do you think of my analogy, Scott?
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Does it make sense?
Sure.
Scott hates it. Scott hates it.
I don't know. I don't love it. But I can tell you put a lot of thought into it, and I always appreciate thought being put into things.
Not as much as you would imagine, actually, Scott. It's something I came up with like 5 minutes before the show. I'm like, how can I compare these two? A really big swimming pool, but apparently that's not great. Scott, I'm sorry. The Los Angeles Rams beat your Atlanta Falcons 15-3 in game 3 of the NLCS.
Yeah, the good news is, you know, as badly as the Braves were beat, it only counts as one win for the Dodgers. Somebody on Twitter suggested to me that maybe they should go rotisserie scoring for the NLCS. That was Big Bad Voodoo Donkey who said that. Give him a little credit. I thought that was funny. But no, that's not how it works. It is head-to-head scoring in real life. And, you know, just one game. So hopefully they bounce back tomorrow.
Hey, at least your team is still playing. So I don't really have anything that I could say at all, Scott, except for good luck. Hopefully the Braves can bounce back in game 4 against the Dodgers. I mentioned that we are joined by another fantastic guest. We're going to do this all off-season on our Thursday podcast. And maybe we'll expand it to both episodes as we go further into the offseason. But that guest is Jeff Zimmerman. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Jeff W. Zimmerman, co-author of The Process, currently contributes to Rotographs, Roto Fanatic, and Baseball HQ, co-host of the Launch Angle podcast. And I just realized a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America. Is that for real? This guy is legit. What's going on, Jeff?
I'm doing good tonight. Happy to be here and talk some fantasy baseball. And yeah, I am a member of the Baseball Writers, and I have gotten my one vote for Manager of the Year, which is kind of like, I hate to say, it's just kind of like, well, I guess, you know. And it's just so tough. And the worst was with Joe Posnanski, and it's like, oh, great. I mean, which one doesn't belong here? But it was a good time, and I'll maybe get a vote again. But usually the, you know, for the Cy Young and the MVP, the regular beat writers cover them. And we got Jeff Passan for Kansas City with their chapter. So he's in charge. So he gets to pick whatever he wants also. So I'll take what I can get. And in a few years here, hopefully I can be able to vote for the Hall of Fame.
Well, no disrespect to Jeff Passan, but I prefer my Jeff with the last name Zimmerman. So hopefully They'll step it up and get you another vote there with the Baseball Writers Association of America. Scott, do you remember way back in, I don't know, I think it was like April, there was that fantasy baseball podcast bracket that was all over Twitter. The Launch Angle podcast actually eliminated us. I think it was like the quarterfinals or something like that. And that's because Jeff's co-host, Rob Silver, recruited the entire country of Canada. And that's mainly a large reason why we were defeated. And it's really hard to compete with that, Scott, if we're being honest.
It's hard to compete with Canada. Yeah.
It's a whole country. Yeah, a whole country at his back.
Yeah, a big one geographically. Population-wise, not so much. But, you know, I guess every square foot got a vote.
Jeff, did I miss anything? Was that an accurate depiction of... I mean, obviously you guys put on a quality podcast, but, you know, having Canada helped.
Well, the deal was that morning we kind of put out like, hey, the vote's going on, vote for us, and just thought we were going to lose like 10 to 1. Like, we just had no hope. And then Rob, like, hits me up. He's like, you know, we're kind of close, and my wife wants to get involved. And she's like the right-hand man for their prime minister. So she runs his elections and everything. So she got everyone she knew involved. So, you know, she can get the prime minister elected there, Trudeau. You know, you guys didn't really stand a chance, but somehow pitcher list, I don't know what they did to kind of take us out in the finals there. They got her, you know, got her corrupted or something, paid her off or something, but we just couldn't get it to take the overall. But the pitcher list does a great job, and you can't really blame them at all.
Yeah, they're just good, I guess. They're the one good fantasy baseball podcast.
No, they do fantastic work. A lot of people in the fantasy baseball industry do a lot of fantastic work, and I actually hope to get Nick Pollock on of Pitcher List at some point. Hopefully Alex Fass as well. Those guys do a tremendous job. Today on the show, you might have guessed it by now, we are previewing the third base position, looking at Scott's early top 12 ranks at that position. But first, as I like to ask each of our guests here, Jeff, I just want to pick your brain a little bit about the 2020 season in general and how that's going to factor into your projections and your rankings overall for 2021 players as well. So basically, like, how much weight are you putting on 2020? It's an abbreviated season. It's really just a 60-game sample, whereas in a normal season, that's literally just over a third of the season. We saw players like Jose Abreu do something that he's never done before. Salvador Perez, the same thing. And also players that were huge disappointments like Christian Yelich and Cody Bellinger. So how much weight are you going to put on 2020 production when it comes to ranking and projecting players for 2021?
The correct answer is depends, but basically none. I actually did a small research just so I kind of had some idea. And with most stats, actually, you can go back to 2018 is more predictive than what happened in 2020. So 2019, by far, should have more weight than anything out there. But you kind of have to go case by case basis, especially with like pitchers that have changed their arsenals or added a new pitch or lost velocity. I think with pitchers, you kind of have to go one by one. But for a lot of hitters, especially those that jumped up, especially because of BABIP, I'm not writing it off. It's a part of it, but I think one thing that people could do, and I think you've kind of been doing it, is just done like a 3-year average, like what's their prorated for a year, like the last 3 years or even the last, you know, year and a half, and go with that much and kind of see how they perform that way. So Baseball Reference has like the last 162 games. You can kind of go there and look at that, and it'll show you what they've done for that. So I think that's probably one of the better measures to kind of get their idea of their season.
Wait, so... Okay, I'm looking at Baseball Reference because I basically have just been doing all of this by hand. Like, I will literally go on Fangraphs and just try to find... I will go through the game log and try and figure out when, like, the last 162 games was for a player. And it's quite time-consuming. So if I can find an easier way to get that done, that would help tremendously. But, yeah, that's what I'm doing as of now for all of these players is looking at their last 162 games of production. And, all right, let's weigh that versus just a 60-game sample of 2020. On the other side, Jeff, when it comes to pitching for next season, how are you going to handle guys like Corbin Burnes or Jesus Luzardo, who obviously haven't really had a huge workload to this point in their careers? Should we be devaluing those players? Should we, you know, be giving an uptick to guys that have done it before, like the Garrett Coles, the Shane Biebers, you know, even like Lance Lynn, who's just like had like a very big workload the past couple of seasons. How are you going to weight those two different types of pitchers?
I have no idea. I'm definitely going to kind of target those guys that have done it every year. And the one thing I've kind of have on my offseason list is to look at the guys that came in through it with full workloads like Lance Lynn. And he, when he came in, you know, he's thrown a lot, you know, he could probably do it again. There's a lot of teams probably did. The only one I know that did it was the Angels, because the only people that have written about it, because they talked about Bundy doing it, is when COVID hit, is they put him on a schedule to be able to throw the full innings for the year. Even though they weren't facing anyone, they still wanted them throwing, you know, this many pitches every 5 days. So a lot of them, if they have had a long workload before, they should be ready to go. It is kind of like these ones that have been hurt constantly, or they kind of babied them a little bit. Like, how much, I mean, what are you really going to do coming off that injury? I think a lot of those, you might have to just max out at like 120 innings. Like Lizardo wasn't throwing that much beforehand, but some of the other ones, yeah, had that full workload. So I feel kind of confident with them going forward.
Yeah, it's a good point. And yeah, I just think you kind of have to, you have to construct your roster correctly, right? Like, you can't just have a bunch of, all right, Lizardo, Burns, Julio Urias. Like, you have to have some guys that you know are going to give you innings. And then, you know, maybe you take a few swings on those younger guys where you don't really know what the innings pitch workload is going to be. But obviously, Corbin Burns is going to be a very popular name based on the skill and the production that we saw in 2020. All right, third base. Scott is still here, so let's get him involved, of course. Third base, very deep position, as I mentioned. A lot of elite-level talent, but lots of question marks at the top as well. So with that being said, Scott, why don't you get us started with your top 12. Who is your number one ranked third baseman heading into 2021?
The number one third baseman, I think it's pretty easy, in part because of the struggles of some of the tried entries in the first round there. But Jose Ramirez, I mean, obviously he's not far removed from being that high-end first rounder himself. 2 years ago, he was the consensus number three pick behind Trout and Betts, and, you know, bounced back from that weird, almost year-long slump. Toward the end of last year, he bounced back looking like Jose Ramirez again and continued to end this season. You know, in terms of fantasy points per game, he was actually the second best hitter behind Freddie Freeman. And then, of course, from a 5x5 standpoint, the fact he provides power and speed, his 10 steals, I think he was tied for 10th in that category with the 10 stolen bases. That sets him apart at this position especially. I don't think we can look at him hitting over 290 and say, okay, that's the kind of hitter he is, you know, beyond just the small sample. He ended the season on a particularly high note that brought that batting average up to a point that I think would have regressed over time. He doesn't really have the kind of batted ball profile, you know, fly balls versus line drives to sustain a high batting average, but power, the speed is going to be there. I think he's probably the only third baseman I'm looking at in the first round next year.
And I think that makes sense. And you mentioned the batting average in 2019, it was 255. In 2018, it's 270. So I tend to agree, based on how many fly balls he hits, and he actually had a career high 51% fly ball rate in 2020. I would imagine the BABIP takes a little bit of a step back, and we're probably looking at more of a 270, 260 to 270 hitter for Jose Ramirez. Jeff, when it comes to Jose Ramirez, any concern at this point over that 132 game stretch? I looked at this. It was basically from August of 2018 to June 2019. 132 games where he hit 212 with just 12 home runs and a 672 OPS. That's nearly a full season's worth of games for Jose Ramirez. Are we past that, or does it still kind of creep into your mind when it comes to Jose Ramirez? Because now, early ADP, he's going at 7.8. So he's back to being a mid-first-round pick.
It has some. I think that's what's keeping him, at least in my opinion, kind of toward the back of the first round. Like, I don't have him as the elite. I think among third basemen, he's easily the number one pick that'll go, and he should be. It's more of where he compares to the other people being taken in the first round, like Trey Turner. Do you want someone at third base? And I also think I'm pretty sure Jose Ramirez only, yeah, he just has a third base this year. So sometimes he's had that multiple eligibilities, but no, I think he's great. And yeah, it's more of where he goes in the first round. I think like I'm in the early mocks that they are having that he's gone as high as 2 and down at 12. So I think it'll be interesting to see how people value him or how they kind of want to build their team. It's like, oh, I can get a third baseman with speed. And as we'll go through the list, it kind of dies off kind of quick, the few that have the speed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Scott mentioned the overall 5-category production. Again, batting average, probably not going to help you, but I don't think he's going to hurt you. But last 162 games for Jose Ramirez, .281 batting average, 38 home runs, 101 runs scored, 120 RBI, and 26 steals. So, yeah, you're really not going to find that type of stolen base production at the top of this position. Scott, after Jose Ramirez, who's number two? Say it loud, say it proud.
It's Manny Machado.
It
kind of feels like it has to be Manny Machado. This will actually be an interesting test case for Jeff, I think, because if we're weighing 2019 more than 2020, which, you know, I think I'm trying to do that too, then Machado would drop behind some of these other guys. But Machado was clearly the second best third baseman in 2020. I'm not really sure why. I understand he barreled up the ball better, but I'm not sure how much of that is just a sample size. Like, he was hot for this stretch, and so obviously the final numbers look good. In terms of the thing that I feel like had kind of messed up Manny Machado after leaving Camden was that he's so fly ball prone that if he's not playing in a smallish park like that, he's not getting the free hits on home runs. It's going to break down his batting average. And that bad ball profile with the line drives versus the fly balls, it kind of normalized in September after, you know, he had a much better BABIP profile early on. So I feel like the other numbers were maybe on their way to following, and it's just a disappointing that we didn't get those final 4 months to see where he ended up. But obviously there's a track record there, certainly from his time with the Orioles, that I don't want to be unfair to him either. And look, he stole 6 bases, which is something we've seen from him in the past too. And that obviously that matters in Roto. So I'm going to put him second here. I'm probably not going to have any shares of him if he goes second at this position, but that's where I'll rank him.
I don't really have a problem with this early ADP. It's 18.9. He's going in the middle of the second round. And I don't think it's just putting too much weight on his 2020 production, because really outside of his 2019 ADP, this is where he's lived. I just pulled up 2018 ADP from the NFBC, and his ADP then 17. So this is kind of like where he always was. And I just think following the down year in 2019, you were just getting him at a tremendous discount. And Jeff, I actually have to give you credit for this, because I referenced this a ton throughout our player evaluation leading up to the 2020 season. And part of the reason why I was in on Machado was that you tweeted out back in February 10th last year, you tweeted out that Manny Machado was hitting .272, .340, .494 before he got hit by a pitch in like his tricep. And then after that, all of his numbers basically plummeted. And that was in the 2019 season, his first season with the Padres. So I continue to reference that. And I thought it was a fantastic point that you brought up. And ultimately, I really don't have a problem with Machado climbing back into this area of the draft. And especially with Jace Tingler, I think that the Padres are going to continue to be very aggressive on the base paths. We saw the Rangers were as well back in 2019 when he was actually in charge of their base running. So thank you, Jeff. I had a lot of Manny Machado shares. And what do you think about this price tag overall in the second round again for him?
It is steep. I'll have to see how everyone else kind of works in. I kind of thought he would be more of like a third or fourth rounder, not jump up so much. And we'll have to see how much of like a recency bias it is. But the one thing that he's done and that whole team is like improved. So he's getting the runs and RBIs from the Padres, just knocking the snot out of the ball. So that's one thing. Even if he doesn't have the great home runs or doesn't steal, he should have put up just some great counting numbers with that team around him being able to hit in the middle of that lineup. And that's what carried a lot of his value. But you just add in a little bit of those home runs, you add in a little bit of those steals from your third base position. And I agree he's second. It's just, again, like how he compares to some of the other players. I think that's more of the decision right here, not is he the second best third baseman.
And there are a ton of pitchers going in that range in some early drafts as well. So we'll talk about that another time. We have a new sponsor here on the podcast and one that I'm very excited about. That is Express Clothing. This one is super easy for me because I've been wearing Express for years. In fact, these V-necks you always see me wearing, I'm actually wearing one right now. You can see it on our YouTube channel. This is from Express, and I am extremely comfortable right now. The deal that we're offering for you today is $25 off your next $50 purchase from Express. All you have to do is text baseball to 397-737. Again, text the word baseball to 397-737 to get $25 off your next $50 purchase. You've heard the term look good, feel good in the past, and I can't stress that enough when it comes to Express. Their clothes are incredibly comfortable. They look amazing, and everything I've ever purchased from them just fits like an absolute glove. You know, most athletic and taller men don't think Express can fit them, but I'm here to tell you that they do, and they do quite well. I'm actually very particular about how my clothes fit, and I've never had an issue with Express. I mentioned the V-necks, but they offer so many different things that, from t-shirts, dress shirts, button-downs, flannels, sweaters, blazers, jeans, suits. They offer so much. I'm actually looking at their Luxe Comfort Knit Collection right now. That's L-U-X-E, Comfort Knit Collection. And if you want to check it out, it's on their website right now. Features many everyday clothing items, except they're made with soft fabric, so it feels like you're wearing your favorite sweats. Seriously, imagine wearing jeans that are so comfy that they feel like sweats. Sign me up. Plus, everything is super affordable. Remember, you can get $25 off your next $50 purchase at Express by texting baseball to 397-737. I've actually done it, and they texted me back with a link for the discount. It is super easy, and I am very excited about our new sponsor. Again, that is Express. All right, Scott, after the top two, you have, who do you have number three at the third base position?
Number three is, I think ended up number one for me coming into this season, and it's Alex Bregman. And I'm actually interested in hearing Jeff's take on this, because I hear myself say it, and it almost feels intellectually dishonest to me because there's an easier explanation than the one I'm about to give. But I feel like the Astros hitters as a whole, they kind of struggled with this over-eagerness to validate themselves coming off the sign-stealing scandal. And it afflicted everybody in some way. George Springer ended up bouncing back late in the season. His final numbers looked pretty good. And then we've seen Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve bounce back in a big way in the playoffs. So maybe that... Maybe that's all that there is. Maybe that is honestly what happened to all of them, and they're all fine. Bregman, we haven't seen him bounce back as strong, but he was really starting to pick things up before getting shut down with a sore hamstring late in August, and then he missed a couple weeks and came back, and I'm not sure he had a chance to get rolling again. But the batted ball profile looks very similar, still has that amazing plate discipline. I'm going to give him a pass for these 2 months, like I am pretty much all the Astros hitters down. Not exactly Jose Altuve, but pretty much all the others.
Yeah, and Altuve is just crushing it in the postseason. So if you worried about his regular season, honestly, this postseason has given me a little bit more confidence in Jose Altuve, the way that he has turned things around. But for Alex Bregman here, really just affected by Babbitt. 254 batting average on balls in play in the shortened season, despite a 25% line drive rate, which was a career high, and he's a career 293 BABIP guy. So higher line drive rate, hit the ball basically as hard as he always did, yet his BABIP was down about 40 points. So it doesn't really add up for me. Jeff, what do you think about Bregman, and what's the deal with the breaking pitches too? Because I noticed that he hit 150 versus breaking pitches this year. That was a career low. And Jose Altuve also hit like 135 against breaking pitches. So I don't know if it goes back to what Scott was saying with the over the eagerness, or if it's related somehow to the cheating scandal. I don't know. Do you put any weight into like them not hitting breaking balls this year?
A little bit. It's just tough to know how much the cheating was going on. And it sounded like the trash cans, like they found a, they may have found a better method after that, but no one's been able to determine it. And it wasn't as obvious. So I think he's a nice picker at three. He's one of the last players that actually, the third baseman that can steal a base. So that have the overall kind of skill set. He's probably the last five category guy. The one thing with him is that whole Astros team, that they're going to have a lot of turnover. So it's going to be interesting to see if that lineup's going to be long again, if they're just going to keep rolling out the points or if they're just going to bring the players from within or how that all works. So that's going to be kind of an interesting point, or even how, I guess the pitching doesn't really matter with that, because that's kind of getting thin now too, that whole team is. But I think his position here is fine. It's just kind of a boring profile. He's just kind of consistent every year. And I kind of wonder if people are just going to get tired of him, and it might be a good chance to buy low. Like if his ADP drops low enough that it's like, oh, we'll just go ahead and, you know, pick him up. Like if you go with a pitcher in the first round and you could kind of maybe get him in the third round or maybe even the fourth, I think that would be a great place. So it'll be kind of interesting to see where his ADP kind of levels out at.
Yeah, and these I'd hoped we were seeing that this year. I was surprised to see him fall to the second round ever. And, you know, obviously that didn't play out so well for me. But, yeah, maybe even more so now, especially since, of course, everybody with that H on the hat is, like, public enemy number one and is going to be for a while now.
Yeah, like, honestly, if this situation with the breaking pitches, and I'm just trying to find any reason why some of these Astros hitters struggled this year. So I'm like literally just looking at every nook and cranny. But if there's nothing there, if I'm just making something out of nothing, then we have huge buying opportunities. And we spoke about this with Altuve the other day, Scott. ADP, early ADP for Bregman, 34. That's a late third round pick, potentially fourth round pick. I mean, his ADP this year was 17. So, you know, he was a borderline first round pick. Are we really going to put that much stock into this shortened season? I'm looking at a buying opportunity for Bregman if he remains in this range.
Yeah, I'm with you, because I don't, for really all the Astros hitters, even Altuve, all of them who struggled, I don't see clear enough changes in the batted ball profile to suggest, okay, this guy just doesn't have it anymore. And so that's why I struggle with this. Is it, because I'm sure a lot of people are going to look at what happened to them and say, see, they couldn't cheat anymore and they're not really that good. And that's probably the easy explanation, but I think it's an oversimplification. So maybe my counter to that is, oh yeah, they were overeager to prove themselves. That's just as much of an oversimplification. I don't know, but I don't really have anything else, you know?
No, I think it makes sense. All right. So those are the top three. You have Jose Ramirez, Manny Machado, and Alex Bregman. Who do you have number four, Scott?
Number four is Nolan Arenado, who I think has a pretty clear explanation, considering he played a lot of September with a shoulder injury that eventually shut him down. I think he even had surgery on it, a bone bruise in his shoulder. Oh, no, I don't think he had surgery, actually. But his shoulder was hurt. And if you look at the breakdown of his season, like he just stopped hitting for power in September, basically, which, you know, brought down his average exit velocity, his hard hit rate, you know, in terms of how much he made contact, he was as good as ever. And he's been so bankable from year to year playing in Colorado that I'm pretty comfortable giving him a pass here. I could understand ranking him ahead of Bregman even. The one thing you have to worry about, or the biggest thing you have to worry about, is him getting traded, which, I mean, if the Rockies are going or the direction of a rebuild, I think he has an opt out after in his contract after next season. You know, if he has a big bounce back season, they may want to cash in, and obviously that would change what his ceiling looks like if he's out of Colorado. But for now, I'll put him fourth here.
Yeah, I'm gonna need some reassurances in the offseason that he is 100% healthy. He hasn't had shoulder surgery yet, but you know, we've seen people kind of, when they're dealing with these shoulder injuries, it really, really does affect their production. So I think that is an excuse for his 2020, but I need to make sure that he is healthy before I invest a second or a third round pick in 2021 on Nolan Arenado. What's crazy is This was only the second time in his 8-year career that he landed on the IL. This guy is normally an Iron Man. So, Jeff, when it comes to Nolan Arenado, how much do you worry about this shoulder, or are you just kind of giving him a pass? Do you need those assurances before you draft him in 2021?
Yeah, I'm kind of worried that since he played through it all, that hopefully he didn't pick up any bad habits trying to deal with the injury. It almost been better if he just went on the IL and just healed himself instead of like we had to rework his swing. There's no way he's going to be in that much pain and not have to change something. I had him in an important league and he was just unplayable, especially on the road. I think he had like under his OPS was like 636 on the road. I mean, you just have to bench that. He was so bad. And if he gets traded, I did some research last year that he's probably going to be about as productive. And this was before coming into this year, which people will probably be a little bit more down on him. He's around like the Matt Chapman level. Like that's what you would kind of expect from him, not in Colorado. But man, this year, it was just rough. And that injury does worry me that, and the trade that it's, I think I want someone a little bit more bankable at this point. But yeah, it sees another one. Like if it falls far enough, it's good. He's going to be a good buy. I think it's going to be a great year coming up where if you kind of do the research and kind of dig in, it'll be how much people kind of deal with the recency bias or, kind of dig into like why they struggled. Like I think a lot of people may, like I said, with Arenado, it's going to be, yeah, how does he feel? Kind of talk about it during spring training and hopefully we can get to see some games.
An early ADP for Arenado is 25.9. So going about 8 picks earlier than Alex Bregman. All right. We'll see where that kind of settles in, but seems a little early for me, Scott. After Arenado, who do you have at number 5?
I have Anthony Rendon 5th, and I think the better safe than sorry crowd, which I would usually consider myself a part of in the early rounds, I think the better safe than sorry crowd might go Rendon ahead of both Arenado and Bregman. I will go Rendon ahead of Arenado in my points league rankings or, you know, any format where you get credit for the on-base ability. I think Rendon over Arenado makes sense. But in terms of ceiling, I really don't think he compares to those two. All of his, you know, like that, the outlier barrel rate and hard hit rate that we saw from him last year leading to career best numbers, those came back down to earth, came back closer to his norms in 2020, which, you know, that's one instance where because 2019 was such an outlier in those areas, you know, I'm going to give more credit to what happened in 2020 with Anthony Rendon. I think that's closer to who he truly is as a hitter, which is still really good, but it's not in a 5x5 context. It's not quite even second round good, I don't think. So I'll have him 5th here, but he is certainly safer than Arenado and Bregman.
Jeff, you want to talk about a bankable asset. I mean, that's pretty much Anthony Rendon. I don't know if we're ever going to get an OPS over 1,000 again, but you're looking at 4 straight seasons of a 900-plus OPS out of Anthony Rendon. He's probably going to miss 10 to 15 games over the course of a full season because that's what he does every year. Again, Anthony Rendon is who we're talking about. Jeff, is there a safer third baseman? Even with Jose Ramirez, is there a safer third baseman than Rendon being drafted in the first 3 rounds of these early drafts?
Yeah, I was kind of mad he actually went off that 1 year. I mean, it was nice. I owned him, but he was like a guy I always would just get like around the 5th round. It's just put him in, especially like in auctions. He didn't have like that high price tag to begin with. And he just kind of fell in like the $15 to $20 range. And I seem to own him all the time. And then he goes off and then the price just goes out of hand. But no, he is bankable. And for people that just want that for their team. And, you know, with an early round fourth or third to fifth round pick, I think he's perfectly fine. He's one of those ones that I don't think I'd push him up into the second, third round, but yeah, once he starts getting the fourth and fifth, I think that's, I'll own him in anytime he falls that far.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. I just want to remind everyone that we have a new show. Want to welcome to the CBS Sports podcast family. Kay Golasso is a daily soccer podcast that aims to bring you the best analysis and commentary from the world's game. They'll have gambling previews and immediate match recaps and react to it to all the latest news from the Champions League to the Premier League to Americans in Europe and everything in between. It's truly a must listen if you are a soccer fan. Episodes available now. You can go subscribe now to QueGolazo. That is QueGolazo on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere else podcasts are found. All right, we are almost 40 minutes in, and we've talked about 5 third basemen. So when we return, hopefully we'll get to the rest of the top 12 here on Fantasy Baseball Today. Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, Scott, we've got through 5 third basemen. Who is number 6 in your early 2021 ranks?
Number 6 is DJ LeMahieu. And obviously, you're probably not drafting him to play first base, right? He's eligible at first base. He's eligible at second base. Those would both be better places to play him. I think he's a distant number 1 at second base. And because of that, like, he might go third at this position. He might go second at this position. I could see somebody taking him ahead of Machado, especially if he re-signs with the Yankees.
Whoa, Scott, come on. I mean, it's Manny Machado we're talking about here. I don't think it's crazy. I saw a few mock drafts where, like, LeMahieu went in the first or second round. It was probably, like, DJ LeMahieu's mom that was drafting him that early, because I can't imagine anyone actually doing that. But, Jeff, just your thoughts on this early cost. We're looking at, like, a late third, early fourth round pick on LeMahieu, assuming he goes back to the Yankees.
Yeah, I think that he could, like Scott was saying, he could easily move up. Especially, I would usually give the guys a little bit of a boost too for the multi-position, and he can be able to get to your corner. He can get to your middle. I think, like, if he was just third base, I think this ranking is kind of set right here. He might even move down a little, but I think when the ADP comes out, there just may not be enough good second baseman to go around that he could be the third baseman going.
All right, Scott. So after LeMahieu, I agree. If you're drafting him, you're probably using him at first or second base. Number 7 in your rankings.
Number 7 is a true third baseman, Rafael Devers, who got off to a pretty miserable start, put him behind the 8-ball, but he was gaining steam as the season ended. The strikeout rate was still a little high. It never quite normalized, but especially when you consider, like, as slow as he started this year, it was much worse last year. And, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to brand him a slow starter, but it's just more indicative of how completely a player can turn things around over a 6-month season. And I don't really have concerns about Devers. If I did, it would be that the strikeout rate was notably higher.
All right, I'm going to need some help here from Jeff to try and figure out who is Rafael Devers, aside from being a 24-year-old who should be a stud. But you mentioned the slow start, Scott. 2019, he didn't hit his first home run until May 3rd, which means that he hit all 32 of his home runs in the final 124 games of 2019. And then in 2020, his first 22 games, he hit just 2 home runs with a .207 batting average. His final 35 games, .297, 9 home runs. So he might just be a slow starter, but Jeff, the OPS the past 3 years, all over the place, 731 in 2018, 916 in 2019, 793 in 2020, the strikeout rate all over the place. What do we make of Rafael Devers?
It's kind of tough. Right now, 2019 looks like the kind of the exception to the rule. His other three seasons so far, even though each one has been, it wasn't a full one, like he really put it together in 2019, they're all what he's done, I mean, are very similar. And then 2019 comes and he just really breaks out because like no one really was drafting him to do that last year. So he's, I think this is the right spot for him. It was interesting that he didn't run at all, didn't steal a base. And also it's, I really want to see what the Red Sox are doing. Their whole lineup, their whole team, I don't know if they're just going to get those counting stats they used to have. That used to be the one thing you could always bank on them. And right now, I mean, that offense was just horrible. So, I mean, he's got some power, but you're not really, you may not have the batting average. And so he's kind of boring. If, like I said, yeah, hopefully you can get that average from 2019. But like I said, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, he hit 263 in 2020. So the early ADP, 37.7, you know, right behind, literally right behind DJ LeMahieu and Anthony Rendon, guys that I consider much, much safer. So everyone knows by now, I have an affinity for Rafael Devers. But if this price tag remains in this range, it's probably too early for me.
Well, Scott, what was that great stat you dropped when Nando was on about Rafael Devers? Do you remember? I think I got it here. It was his average exit velocity was actually higher this year than last year. And I don't feel like his home run pace really suffered that much.
The only difference, Scott, in his production was the strikeouts. That's the, like the difference between him hitting over 300 and 263 is a 10% rise in strikeouts. 17% in 2019, 27% in 2020. So, I mean, if he gets that closer to 20% strikeout rate, I think based on his quality of contact, you're looking at a 290-plus hitter. But will he cut those strikeouts down? That's the biggest question mark when it comes to Devers. So
I think that's spot on. The BABIP was only down slightly. The ISO was only down slightly. Line drive rate, ground ball rate, fly ball rate, virtually identical to 2019. So I think you're right.
All right, Scott. So after seven, why don't you hit me with number eight and nine together?
Okay, a couple players in similar spots, so that makes sense. Eugenio Suarez and Matt Chapman, both, you know, kind of yucky what they did. But in a way that, I don't know, I have a glass half full take on both of them. Eugenio Suarez, the home run pace was similar to the one that brought him to 49 last year. His BABIP dropped from 312 to 214. And in a way that's hard to explain, it's not like he stopped hitting line drives and was hitting a crazy number of fly balls. I mean, he does hit a lot of fly balls, but that big a drop in BABIP is not, I'm not really seeing a good explanation for it. So I don't want to drop Suarez too much, knowing the power is still there. And Chapman, huge jump in strikeout rate. Like, what is wrong with this guy level of increase there? He was striking out like Miguel Sano. And yet, like the batting average, you didn't see the as big a drop in batting average as you'd expect because of that, because he, you know, kind of got away from selling out for power so much, from selling out for home runs so much with the exaggerated fly ball rate, and still hit for good power. So, I mean, the strikeouts for Chapman, it's so out of the ordinary for him. And, you know, he ended up having a hip issue that ended up needing to be repaired. Who knows how much that impacted it, but like everything else Chapman did was a step in the right direction. So I don't expect Chapman to strike out 35% of the time again. I think he might be a sneaky pick in 2020.
I really like the glass half full approach.
2021, sorry.
I like the glass half full on Eugenio Suarez much more than I do Chapman. I really just look at the BABIP, and 214 BABIP in 2020 for Suarez career 310 mark. So it kind of reminds me a little bit about Max Muncy too. You look at the BABIP for Max Muncy this year and it just seemed like he was like really, really unlucky. Chapman, I worry a little bit more. I mean, he's got 4 months of rehab ahead. He just had hip surgery. So I've really, you know, I've got to get some assurances from him in the offseason and see how he's performing in spring training, assuming we have a spring training. But Jeff, just pitting these two guys up against each other, Suarez, Matt Chapman, what do you think of each and which one would you lean towards?
I agree with you that Suarez is probably the one, like, I'm just going to lean toward the players that had BABIP issues instead of strikeout issues. I do think one thing with the third baseman, even you can lump Devers, Suarez, Chapman, and some of the ones later, is they're kind of like these 240 to 260 hitters that hit a bunch of home runs. And I think you can just kind of pick and choose one, like the last one out of the group. And the one thing I did find with third base last year, I remember it was JD Davis, was like, I didn't want anyone after him. It just really dropped off. It was a great position. It was loaded, but then there was just this drop where it was just horrible. So I think the one thing you kind of have to look here at third baseman is we're sort of getting there where it's like, I want to get one in these, you know, first 100 picks or so. And then, you know, then the talent just kind of really drops off. Cause a lot of times you get the guys that are third base and like second base. And it's like, well, you want to put the guy at second base. So your third baseman's kind of dry out a little bit.
And Jeff mentioned this huge drop in ADP. There's these 9 mock drafts that are going on. They're set up by Justin Mason. And we have the ADP data from Smata. Smata Plays Baseball on Twitter. Make sure you give him a follow. And you can find the ADP there as well. But there's this huge drop where Devers is going like late third, early fourth. And 40 picks later is where you get to Suarez at 78.8. And then Matt Chapman at 98.4. So there's just like this huge drop in basically a tier for third baseman from Devers to Eugenio Suarez. At number 10 in Scott's ranks, it's Kevin Biggio. We spoke about him on the second base preview, so you could go back and listen to that. Scott, number 11. Look at this guy making quite the jump here in 2021. I guess it's time to just officially buy in.
Yeah, because I don't think there's anything wrong with Gio Urshela. I think he's kind of hard to knock at this point, even though the home run production was kind of lacking in 2020 in terms of how hard he hit the ball, in terms of you know, that was really what he improved during his breakout 2019, and people weren't sure was it a fluke or whatever. He changed his approach at the plate that year to incorporate his lower body more and made much harder contact, and that continued. The X slug, I think, ended up quite a bit higher than the actual slug. So I think Urshela 2019 Urshela was basically legit. And if we got a chance to see a full 6 months of him this past year, it would have been more evident in the raw numbers. He doesn't walk much, but he doesn't strike out much either. And he's in a prime RBI spot and a loaded lineup and has enough power that, you know, the batting average is going to be there. And I think everybody who drafts Urshela will just stick him in their lineup and not really worry about him. So there are several behind him who probably have more upside. But, like, this is the weird thing about third base is, we're getting into a range here where you don't feel super comfortable with the players, but there's some high end names. There's some big names who've done big things in the past. And so it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to invest in them like a starter for your team. And yet it's very likely they end up performing like a starter. But that comes after Urshela. I think Urshela people should feel pretty safe. Should feel pretty confident in.
Early ADP, I mean, you could be getting a potential huge discount on Urshela because ADP is 163.4. So I think people are not necessarily there yet with him. But we now have a 175-game sample since he joined the Yankees where he has an 881 OPS during this time. And I think I wouldn't really argue against it. The line drive rate is, you know, pretty massive for him and good spot to hit in, good ballpark to hit in. I think the job is safe. I don't really have any issues when it comes to Urshela. So he's looking at like an early value for me. All right, third base is looking pretty damn good heading into 2021. And there are a bunch of other names that we didn't even get to.
Donaldson is kind of in that same group.
Right.
With Bryant Moncada and Donaldson, it's like, are you just going to completely throw out 2020 because of health reasons? Because, you know, they nothing good came for any of them in 2020. And so I'm not sure about what to do about that. And then right after them is Ke'Bryan Hayes. I have him 16th at the position, who had a very strong debut. Certainly blew away my expectations, but he was considered a high-end prospect. And I feel like he's somebody, if you're going to invest in a Bryant or Moncada, you'll probably want to follow with a Ke'Bryan Hayes pretty soon, because he feels more bankable than those two at this point. And I'm very high on him. I'm very high on Ke'Bryan Hayes. I'm going to declare my love for him right now and go ahead and plant my flag in that. And we'll see how many shares of him I end up with.
Yeah, definitely an interesting prospect. But remember, Lindor came up as a defense-first prospect and turned into this fantastic offensive player as well. So it's not outside of the realm of possibility for Ke'Bryan Hayes. And, of course, someone that Scott loved heading into last season. And he was actually pretty good, is Alec Bohm, who, you know, we didn't even get to either, but we have all offseason to get to those guys. Jeff Zimmerman, I want to thank you again for joining us. Make sure you follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff W. Zimmerman, of course, with Rotographs, RotoFanatic, Baseball HQ, and co-host of the Launch Angle podcast. Jeff, is there anything else that I missed that you would like to promote? What do you got going on right now?
Yeah, just kind of I'm working for preseason stuff, and I'm just kind of taking a break. It's usually this month right now. We're trying to decide if we'll actually put out the process. Me and my co-author both have our kids at home and are dealing with homeschooling. So, that's a whole, there's just no time. So it's, many a times, like we'll see what comes out of that. But yeah, the process is, in limbo right now for at least this year with everything that's going on.
I hear you, man. Well, Scott hears you more because he's got the kids at home too. Me, I don't have no kids. Not yet, and honestly, I don't know if ever, but that's a conversation for another day. For Jeff and Scott, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today on our YouTube channel. We'll be back again on Tuesday. Bye-bye. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property, it's the location and neighborhood. Homes.com offers in-depth neighborhood guides with detailed video overviews, comprehensive narratives, and unbiased information from a multitude of sources. You thought we'd go in-depth with player analysis on Fantasy Baseball Today? You haven't seen anything yet. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. When looking at local schools, they offer test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.